Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 565. We'd like to start off with a big Talkin' Birds welcome to our newest supporting sponsor, Celestron.com, a leading optics company offering binoculars and spotting scopes to birders of all levels. By the way, long before Celestron became a sponsor of our show, it was a Celestron scope that perched by the window of our Talkin' Birds World Headquarters, looking out onto winter seabird territory on beautiful Boston Harbor. That same scope, a Celestron Regal M2, has ridden on our shoulder every time we've gone out looking for birds by the shore and lots of other places. And we're thrilled to be associated with Celestron because of their deep support of many conservation initiatives. And we're especially proud to have them aboard as a supporter of and partner with our Talkin' Birds show. Please check out Celestron's amazingly wonderful line of products at Celestron.com. C-E-L-E-S-T-R-O-N. Celestron.com. I'd like to thank our friends from National Public Radio's Weekend Edition Saturday for hosting yours truly in a segment yesterday about unusual and sometimes shocking bird behavior. If you missed it and would like to give it a listen, click the link to the interview on our homepage, talkinbirds.com. Well, those of us who live in the great city of Boston are very proud of our city, and we recommend to all a visit there to spend some time in one of the most historical, beautiful, and vibrant cities in America. One of our favorite places, right smack dab in the middle of town, is the Boston Public Garden. And guess what has come to the Boston Public Garden? Yes, it's spring, or at least a hint of it, what with reports from the public garden of a wonderful annual event beginning again. A red-tailed hawk has been spotted perching on the ledge under the big clock at the Arlington Street Church, which overlooks the western end of the garden. Red tails have been nesting on that ledge for several years now, and it's nice to see that process beginning anew. Also reported as heralding spring in the garden this week, common grackles and red-winged blackbirds, and a rock pigeon apparently sitting on eggs under some broken anti-pigeon netting under a footbridge, using the netting to hold up the nest. Another reason to love pigeons, at least for some of us. As we mentioned last week, right across the harbor from our Talkin' Birds World Headquarters in Quincy, Mass., is the campus of UMass Boston, the urban branch of the University of Massachusetts. I mention that because 1 week from today, Sunday, March 13th, we'll broadcast our show live from that gorgeous harborside location. That's because Mass Audubon's big annual birders meeting will take place there on that day. If you're anywhere near the Boston area, get yourself a ticket through massaudubon.org and come out and see us and take in this amazing birders meeting event and the view of beautiful Boston Harbor. Meanwhile, if you haven't seen our new Talkin' Birds newsletter, The Trumpeter, we hope you'll check it out and subscribe to it. Very easy to do right on our website, talkinbirds.com.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Here's some things we hope you'll find worth looking at on our Talkin' Birds Facebook page. The hidden beauty of birds' eggs is seen in a new way. A different kind of birding with stamps. That's right, stamps. Ornithology meets philately. Why we dislike certain birds and why their behavior may be our fault. And speaking of birds we dislike, cowbirds will be cowbirds, and researchers may have finally figured out how they learn to carry out their parasitic behavior. Some of the things this week on our Talkin' Birds Facebook page. On our Talkin' Birds blog this week, New research indicates that climate change may affect the development of embryos in birds' eggs, especially if the birds live in an already hot climate. That's a story on our blog this week, easily found at talkingbirds.com. Our conservation salute of the week goes to the folks from the conservation group Nature Canada. In recognition of the fact that some bird species have declined by over 90%, and with outdoor cats exposed to a variety of threats of their own, including diseases from feline leukemia, parasites, vehicle collisions, wildlife, and other cats, Nature Canada and partners are launching an initiative to convince folks to keep their cats indoors. The initiative is the start of a larger awareness program that will feature some very creative ideas, including a series of graphic novels by noted author and environmentalist Margaret Atwood to be written and released starting later this year. Outdoor cats, they tell us now, kill billions of birds in North America every year. And so our conservation salute this morning goes to folks who are trying to do something about it at Nature Canada. Well, Canada is where we usually find our Euro Young Superstar birder, Charlotte Wasilek, and her Charlotte's Weblog segment. But today we connect in a very brief visit this morning as she settles in for some birding adventures in Deutschland.
Alberta Bound.
From America, Charlotte.
Good morning, Ray. After a few days in Germany, I've seen many common cranes, Eurasian blackbirds, common wood pigeons, chaffinches, and a gray heron. I've not seen any life birds yet, but my fingers are crossed. My previous segment featured Acadia National Park for my ongoing series of the U.S. National Park Service for its centennial this year. You can find more information about Acadia National Park, birding in Acadia, and the Every Kid in a Park initiative on my blog at prairiebirder.com. That's all for this week, Ray. I'll talk to you next time, and auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen, bis später, Charlotte. Don't forget to check out Charlotte's blog. That's online at prairiebirder.com, prairiebirder.com, and we'll hear more from Charlotte very soon.
Still to come on our show today, anybody remember the Western movie The Shootist? It starred John Wayne as The Shootist, and it featured an all-star cast including Lauren Bacall, James Stewart, Ron Howard, Scatman Crothers, and Sherry North? Well, anyway, we have a guest this morning with kind of a similar moniker, but since this is the Talkin' Birds show, the guest we're referring to is known as The Birdist. He's down there in the Washington, D.C. area, and we'll meet him shortly. Also on the show, a man we might call the Seedist or something like that, our man Mike O'Connor from the Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod. That's the place, by the way, that supplies the seed and the suet and the peanuts for our Talkin' Birds garden, the world's smallest bird sanctuary right here in Marshfield, Massachusetts. We'll talk with Mike about something a little different today, the sightings right there on Cape Cod of a bird never before recorded in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And up next, a bird that we talked about on NPR yesterday is today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend, and that's after we say this about our great new friends at Celestron. Enhance your view with Celestron, a leading optics company offering binoculars and spotting scopes for birders of all levels. Celestron is dedicated to bird preservation and education and proudly supports many nonprofit organizations that share the same commitment. Celestron says, we care about the birds and nature in our backyard as well as yours. Visit Celestron.com and discover more. This is a shrike.
Whoa!
And this is a shrike. Yeah, the first was a missile, and the second was a machine gun. And they're both named after a songbird. Kind of weird, huh? Well, maybe not so weird when you consider that this songbird is a pretty lethal weapon. It's the northern shrike. Like its slightly smaller cousin from the south, the loggerhead shrike, the northern shrike is known to sometimes impale its victims, like insects, small mammals, and birds, on a thorn or a spike of barbed wire. But it's not doing this to be cruel. It's just that unlike hawks and owls,
The northern shrike doesn't have sharp talons and strong feet to tear apart its prey, so when it captures something large, it has to immobilize it so it can take it apart with its sharp, hooked bill. The northern shrike is a winter visitor to New England and closely resembles the northern mockingbird, except that it's stockier, has a bigger head and that hooked beak, and appropriately perhaps, a black mask. Like the mockingbird, it's a mimic, and it sometimes uses that skill to lure in potential bird victims as it patiently surveys the landscape from a usually exposed perch. You might think the northern shrike would have a kind of scary sound, and you'd be right. Our friend's Latin name, by the way, Lanius Exubitor, translates into English as Butcher Watchman. The Northern Shrike, today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend.
Disclaimer, generic sound effects were used to represent the Shrike missile and the Shrike machine gun. Thanks again for being with us here at our show number 565. Hope you'll visit our website, talkinbirds.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Talkin' Birds. Nick Lund hosts the birding website, thebirdist.com, and in fact, he is the birdist, and he joins us right now from just outside Washington, D.C. Good morning, Nick.
How you doing, Ray? Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here. We love your website, Nick, and you have a new column now at Audubon.org, which we'll find out about in a minute. But first, let's go back to a piece, Nick, that you wrote for Slate.com entitled What the State Birds Should Be. So apparently many states have made some pretty lame choices for their official state birds, right?
Yeah. Have you looked at a list of state birds recently? It's atrocious. It's a real sort of embarrassment, I think. These are these states coming out and saying, this is something unique to us. This is our special bird. This is what we want people to know about us. This is what we want our people in our state to, you know, think of when they think of our state. And it's a terrible, terrible list, frankly.
Yeah. What are some of the most egregious examples there?
Yeah, so there I got five what I think of are the worst. So I'll start. The fifth worst one is the goldfinch. Everybody loves goldfinches. I love goldfinches. Three states have the American goldfinch as their state bird. Washington, which calls it the willow goldfinch. New Jersey and Iowa, which both call it the eastern goldfinch. And what are they doing? Why are there three states that have the same bird, and why are none of them actually what the bird's name?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I guess you can give him credit for creativity, creating their own bird there.
If you're just making up your own bird. That's great.
They can report on a new species they've discovered.
Sure, they're hogs. They're trying to make to pad their life list, I guess. The next one is South Dakota, which has the ring-necked pheasant as their state bird. It's not native to North America. It's an introduced bird. What is it doing as their state bird? That's insane.
Wow.
Next is the Western Meadowlark, which six states have as their state bird. I love meadowlarks too, but you can't just have the same bird as all the states around you. It should be your special bird, Western Meadowlark.
Yeah.
The next one, similarly, is the Northern Cardinal. West Virginia, Virginia, Ohio, North Carolina, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, all have the Northern Cardinal as their state bird. Do these people know that there are 700 species of birds to choose from? Why are we picking them?
Apparently not. But none as colorful as the Cardinal.
What I think is the worst state bird, the most egregious example, is the Northern Mockingbird. God bless it. It's a nice bird, but Texas, Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arkansas all have it. And I think, you know, Texas and Florida, there are more birds in those states than anywhere else. These are our most bird-rich states, and they're going with a mockingbird, a little gray, you know, bird that just sits on a bush and sings. I think we can do better. I think the people of those states need to do better, and there are lots of good birds just hanging out there waiting to be chosen.
Yeah, my home state of Massachusetts is an offender too, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I'd like to talk to you about that, because my home state of Maine shares our state bird, the black-capped chickadee, yeah. with Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Maine, because it's a better state, should have the black-capped chickadee.
Whoa! Fighting words.
You know, you guys can pick whatever you want. I think something, maybe the, not to spoil what's going on later, but maybe yellow-billed loon you could pick, mm-hmm. or piping plover, or any of the birds you've got on Cape Cod, something like that. I think Maine deserves the chickadee.
Okay, maybe we could start using the Carolina chickadee as they're moving up here.
You could, yeah, that'll happen soon enough.
Yeah, unfortunately so. So all these states, now some states kind of got it right, though, right? I'm thinking of Georgia, for example.
Sure. Georgia is a good one. They have the brown thrasher as mm-hmm. their state bird, which is a really cool sort of indie choice, I think. You know, there are a couple states that I think did a really good job. States that you would otherwise, you know, when you hear this bird, you think of the state. It's a natural fit. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the Roadrunner in New Mexico,
yeah.
Greater Roadrunner, a brown pelican in Louisiana,
perfect.
Scissor-tailed flycatcher in Oklahoma, which is a gorgeous bird,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore Oriole in Maryland, which is a perfect fit. And then there's only one state, South Carolina, which has the Carolina Wren, which has gone what I think is a very obvious route of choosing a species that actually shares a name with the state. None of the other states, Mississippi Kite, Carolina Wren, Carolina Wren does, but Tennessee Warbler, things like that. No other state has gone the route of South Carolina, but they should.
They never thought of that. Well, is there any movement afoot to do something about all this?
You know, there is in certain states. Actually, Florida, if you follow it, is an interesting story where there has been a long simmering movement to change the bird from the northern mockingbird because it's incredible that it is that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's actually a strong counter movement for some reason led by a former head of the National Rifle Association to keep the mockingbird. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know what the reasoning is mm-hmm. or why these folks care so much to keep it, but that's the situation.
That's
so I encourage all states with crummy state birds, which is a lot of them, to rise up. Make change happen.
Go to slate.com, do a little search for state birds, and you can find Nick's entire brilliant piece. We'll run out of time here quickly, Nick, but you are now the writer of a new column for National Audubon at audubon.org, aimed at folks you describe as newish birders or folks who are just curious as to what this birding thing is about. Give us a quick thumbnail, if you would, about their new column.
Sure. It's called The Birdist Rules for Birding, and it's aimed at people who are bird curious or just starting out, and you know, we've all been there. You don't really know sometimes what this hobby is or what you should do or how to get started, and so I'm going to write columns aimed at those folks. Some of it is early identification, identifying your first gull and telling the difference between fish crows and American crows. Some of it is, you know, encouraging people that it's okay to go out alone, what clothes you maybe should wear, what food you should eat, some etiquette, how to get a good tattoo, things like that.
All right. Find it at audubon.org. Nick Lund is the birdist. Find him at thebirdist.com and look for his new column there, audubon.org. Thanks, Nick, and I'll see what I can do about getting Massachusetts state bird switched over to piping plover.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Coming up next, here is our mystery bird contest in just 1 minute.
Did you know that winter is when backyard birds need our help the most? Birds' energy demands are huge in the cold weather, and natural food sources are scarce, especially during snow and ice storms. Here's an idea. As you're stocking up on winter supplies for yourself, pick up a feeder and wild bird food for your backyard songbirds. Look for the Audubon Park brand, a top choice among bird lovers for more than 40 years. This season, try the brand's new songbird selections with NutriThrive line, which is enhanced with vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids that birds need but that have become scarce in the natural world. Like Audubon Park Bird Food on Facebook to join the conversation about feeding the birds. Audubon Park's products are made in the USA and meet the highest quality and safety standards in the industry. And Audubon Park's products are easy to find at your supermarket, lawn and garden store, farm and feed market, and online retailers. For more information, visit audubonpark.com. That's audubonpark.com. Get some for your backyard birds today. Audubon Park Wild Bird Food.
You're eligible on the Mystery Bird Contest if you haven't been a winner here in the last 6 months. And don't forget, you can hear our show live every Sunday morning. Just go to talkingbirds.com to see how to do it. We are really short on time this morning. Please call us as soon as you can if you think you might be able to identify this mystery bird. The number, by the way, is 781-837-4900. Our mystery bird is a large shorebird of the Pacific Coast, found along rocky shores from Alaska to Baja California, where it feeds on mussels and limpets and other shellfish. Our bird has a black head and body, a large red specialized bill, yellow eyes with a surrounding ring of red skin, and sturdy pinkish legs. A description there of our mystery bird. What is it? Tell us or take a guess, because no correct answer means a drawing will determine our winner. 781-837-4900. Our prize is a big, beautiful double suet feeder by Droll Yankees. A big one that you can use for suet or fruit, and a lifetime warranty against squirrel damage is included. Call us right now on our mystery bird contest, 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, we'll check in with Mike O'Connor. Let's Ask Mike live in just 1 minute.
Public ferry service to the Boston Harbor Islands has ended for the season, but you can still visit the beautiful Boston Harbor Islands peninsulas open year-round. World's End in Hingham, Deer Island in Winthrop, Webb Memorial Park in Weymouth, and Nut Island in Quincy. They're connected to the mainland and accessible by car, offering stunning views of Boston Harbor and its islands, plus birding, hiking, biking, and cross-country skiing. Enjoy your national park all year long. For more information, please visit bostonharborislands.org.
Here on Talking Birds Now, a message from our friends at Ducks Unlimited.
Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has been a world leader in wetlands conservation, ensuring safe passage for nature's most beautiful creations, protection against flooding, and sanctuary for the human soul. If we don't want to grow old in a world without wild places, we must speak up. We must step up so that we may fill the skies for generations to come.
There's our familiar music for our Let's Ask Mike segment, now live from beautiful Cape Cod. And that would be Mike O'Connor from the Birdwatchers General Store. Good morning, Mike.
This is the Cetus talking.
Oh, you like the nickname?
Yeah, I like that. I'm going with that. Okay. Hey, but before we begin, man, you got to tell your little friend Nick that Massachusetts is not giving up the chickadee, all right?
Yeah.
Maine used to be part of Massachusetts, and if they don't want their state taken back to Massachusetts, then they just better watch what they're talking about.
I hope you heard that, Nick. All right, we've laid down the gauntlet here.
That's right.
It's war, Massachusetts versus Maine, former little part of a great state. Well, Nick also mentioned, Mike, what we would talk about here this morning, that is that yellow-billed loon causing a lot of excitement.
That's very the first exciting time news coming from old Cape Cod. A good bird, Steve Arena from Westboro, spotted this last Sunday, as a matter of fact. It's a giant loon, the largest loon, and it's first time ever in Massachusetts, which is stunning considering how many birders that have lived and passed through this state, from Sibley to Roger Torrey Peterson to Ray Brown. They've all come through the state, and no one's ever seen this bird before until last week, and it's quite exciting, and it's still there right off of Race Point. And it's a giant loon. It's distinctive with a light colored yellow bill, and it's huge. It goes 12 to 14 pounds, which is several pounds more than even a golden eagle. So it's a big bird, and it's not often seen or ever seen out here. It's usually seen up in the Arctic or Alaska. So this is kind of exciting stuff going on.
Yeah, this is a bird in winter plumage, so it won't look like some pictures you might see in breeding plumage of this bird.
It doesn't. It looks very similar in both plumages to the common loon, which we're all familiar with. But it's not that handsome. Mentioned Maine again, but the loons that get up in Maine. Actually, the Cape has a lot of loons, red-throated loons and sometimes Pacific loons, a lot of common loons in the winter. But, yeah, they're a little bit drabber, but it's that giant distinctive bill that kind of separates this bird from everything else. And people are streaming up to see it, and if they don't mind walking along the beach, you get to see a bird that you may never see again in Massachusetts. So it's kind of exciting on old Cape Cod.
I guess so. Will you be closing the store to go out there and bring your staff to take a look at
it? Yeah, we're going to shut down. We're going to run shuttle buses all day long.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, the yellow-billed loon. Mike O'Connor there from the Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod. Meanwhile, we're going back to the mystery bird contest and try to identify this mystery bird. Large shorebird of the Pacific Coast. coast, found along rocky shores from Alaska to Baja, California, where it feeds on mussels and limpets and other shellfish. Our bird has a black head and body, a large red bill, a specialized bill, yellow eyes with a surrounding ring of red skin and sturdy pinkish legs. What do you think our bird is? We have a beautiful prize, as always, from Droll Yankees, makers of the world's best bird feeders. This bird is not going to come to your backyard, but lots of others could. It's the Droll Yankees Double Suet Feeder, perfect for treating your backyard birds to their favorite suet or fruit. It has a lifetime warranty against squirrel damage, and that would be our prize here in the Mystery Bird Contest. 781-837-4900 is the number. We have, I believe it's Barbara up in where? The state of Maine. I hope she knows about the big battle we have coming up here. Our songbird battle.
Yes, I do.
Our state bird battle. What do you think, Barbara?
I think we should keep the chickadee, and you need a change.
Oh, all right. And you're expecting us to let you win the mystery bird contest? Well, we will if you get the correct answer, of course. What do you think our mystery bird is, Barbara?
I'm not so sure now, but I was thinking it was a Pacific loon.
Pacific loon. It's certainly a Pacific bird out there in the ocean, but along the shore anyway, but not a Pacific loon. But thank you for the try, Barbara, and we'll talk later about the state bird.
Okay.
All right. Barbara from Maine. I forgot to ask whereabouts in Maine that Barbara was. Should have done that. But anyway, thank you, Barbara, for the call. And our mystery bird, what is it? 781-837-4900. And we have Greg. Not sure where Greg is, other than the fact that he's on the phone here, apparently.
I'm in northern Michigan.
Northern Michigan. Whereabouts?
Houghton Lake.
Was it again?
Houghton Lake.
Houghton Lake in northern Michigan. All right.
It's the northern part of the Lower Peninsula.
Okay, the Lower Peninsula, right. So the part that's all one part of the state there, not that little extra disconnected
Correct.
Part up there. What about birding around your area there, Greg?
Hoping for the first red-winged blackbird today.
All right. We've got a couple around here already here in Massachusetts where our state bird is the black-capped chickadee. what do you say, Greg, on our mystery bird?
I believe that's the black oyster catcher.
Let me check on that. Yes. The black oyster catcher. Absolutely correct. We have the East Coast counterpart here, a striking black and white American oyster catcher. I don't know if there are oyster catchers up your way or on the lakes or not. I would think not. Are there?
No oyster catchers here, no.
No oyster catchers in that freshwater scene up there. Greg, thank you. Nice job. We'll get your address here if you'll stay on the line and send you that beautiful Droll Yankees feeder.
Thank you. Enjoy the show.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Greg up there in northern Michigan with the correct answer. It's the black oyster catcher.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Noted non-recycler Tommy Crenshaw talks about the future.
Oh, I can totally see finding another planet that can support life when ours fills up with trash.
Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle, unless you're into lame excuses like Tommy's.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing. Starting over on a new planet? Now that's exciting.
Don't be that guy. Unless you want people looking at you funny. Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org.
And guess what? We are out of time for our show this morning. A reminder that next week we'll be live from the Mass Audubon Annual Birders Meeting. That's at the University of Massachusetts Boston campus, overlooking beautiful Boston Harbor. And as part of that broadcast, by the way, we'll get some exciting news about an amazing new initiative, a wonderful new initiative called Operation Bobolink. That's next week. If you're anywhere, I guess in the southern New England area, we hope you'll come and join us there. It's going to be a beautiful event. And by the way, Steve Arena, who spotted that yellow-billed loon on Cape Cod, is going to be there as one of the speakers. So another incentive for you to come and join us there. That's our show for this morning. Executive producer is Mark Duffield. Associate producer Debbie Bleacher. Our engineer, Larry Nelson. I'm Ray Brown. We'll see you next week.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away. worlds apart. Go to BostonHarborIslands.org for more information.